worship the Lord with our tithe and also with our offering. We give unto missions because we believe in the good word of the Lord, and that it goes forth and ministers unto families and unto children. We give tonight, Stephanie and I are giving for the Mexico project to feed the children down there. And that, doing that, feeding those kids, that touches their hearts and touches the parents' hearts, so that they will be one into the kingdom. Take your offering and lift it up to the Lord. Father, we bless this offering now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you will bless it and multiply it, meet the needs of our fellowship and of the missionaries, Lord. Let the word of God go forth in might and power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As they're receiving that, I want to just remind you, tomorrow evening is the time to feed the football team, right? And the ladies group is doing that. Do you still need anything, Sister Virginia? They could use more desserts. And what time is the meal? Around 5 o'clock. So if you could bring a dessert before 5 o'clock, that would be great. And then we remind you of Sunday morning service at 10:30. And we'll be here to get another exciting word from Pastor Kevin. He's coming right now to share the word with us tonight and about the Holy Spirit. So we've been singing about the Holy Spirit, and now Pastor's going to preach about the Holy Spirit. Open your heart. Get ready to receive, because God wants to bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we had a graveside private burial for my mother on Monday. And it's just the immediate family besides my cousins, Jan and Arliss Thrasher. They happened to be here for Aunt Dortis's funeral. I had an aunt pass, the last of that generation, on my dad's side. We have one living relative now on our mother's side, and that's my Aunt Barbara, that was married to my Uncle Harold. And so I told Pastor Ken, we are the older generation now after this. You know, we're getting there. But we enjoyed the visit that they had. They were with us on Sunday. They've ministered, been in the ministry over 50 years. And so it was a pleasure for them to come. They enjoyed Zach and meeting the whole family, and it was a lot of fun having them around. That was my Aunt Mildred's daughter. And my Aunt Mildred, my dad used to send her a Mother's Day card every year because she was quite a bit older than him, about probably 10 years. And he would write in the Mother's Day card, "You're the only mother that I ever knew." Because she quit school after the fifth grade to take care of her three younger brothers. So, you know, times were different back then. We're talking about, my dad was born in 27, so it was 1931 when my mom was born that my dad's mom passed away. And so, you know, my Aunt Mildred became his mother figure. And she was a wonderful lady. I always told that story she told me, where she was had a friend call her, and she answered the phone. She said, "Mildred, there's Jehovah's Witness coming your way." And we believe, you know, the Jehovah's Witness are a cult. They don't believe in Jesus Christ the same way we do. They believe he is a God, is how it reads in their Bible. So we know he is the only begotten Son of the living God. He's divine. He's not an angel. He is the Son of God. So anyway, she prepared. She was going to witness to this gal. And so sure enough, the doorbell rang, and she went, and she answered it and said, "Before you say anything, I want you to come in, sit down. If you'll listen to what I have to tell you, then I'll listen to what you have to tell me." And so she told her all about the salvation power of God. She went right down the Romans road, you know, Romans 3:23, 6:23, Romans 10:8, 9 and 10. And then she said, "Would you like to pray and confess Jesus Christ?" And the woman said, "Yes." And so she prayed with her, and she was so excited. She said, "Well, now you can tell me anything you'd like." And she said, the lady said, "This is the first time in 20 years of selling Avon that this has ever happened to me." So my aunt was quite a card. She was something else. But she is an evangelist. She played her guitar and sang and preached. She could really preach. But I enjoyed having her as my aunt. She was almost like a surrogate grandmother back in those days on that side. But tonight, I want to encourage you to live the Spirit-filled life. Pastor Ken did a great job of talking last week and sharing his message. And I just thought I'd tag on the end of yours even and keep rolling with it. I just enjoyed my little granddaughter, Lyrica. I had her, and the music goes, she puts her hand up like this. And she looks at me like, "Well, you better put your hand up." So I put my hand up. But then she'll put it up this way. But she likes to praise the Lord. Yes, she does. There she is. Hi, baby. Anyway, living a Spirit-filled life. There's no reason why we shouldn't be joyful and excited every day to live for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, God's got more patience with people than we do. I tell you what, He is so tolerant and patient and waiting for people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to serve Him with all their hearts. He wouldn't want anybody to perish, to not accept Jesus. He wants everybody to come to that knowledge of God. And so, do you want to fail or succeed in your Spirit-filled life? You want to succeed, don't you? Well, Jesus, this other passage was, he wants everybody to be saved, and he's not slack about it. He's doing everything He can by the Holy Spirit's direction to nudge people, to witness to people, and your relatives that need to know the Lord, that He's got people crossing their path. I tell you what, I meet people and they'll say, and sometimes I've led them to the Lord, and they say, "Well, you know what, my grandma and mama have been praying for me for years." And those prayers nudge people for us to share the gospel. Right, Nelson? Nelson likes to share the gospel. You know, when we share the gospel and we're repentant, it keeps us on the right track. It really does. So I want to succeed at living the Spirit-filled life. Don't you? Anyway, Psalm 91. Let's go there for a moment. Verses 1 and 2, I think I was here a couple weeks ago, but let's read it again. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." So, where are you living today? Are you living under the shadow of the Almighty? Are you under the shelter of His love like wings? I tell you what, the Lord moved on me in a service back in Florida, and I told you about it, and I sang a prophetic song, word. Brother Gorman was preaching revival for me, and I sang that during worship. Ken Soltes liked it so much, he put it on our second album that we produced. And we did some live music on those albums, and that was one of them. In fact, they said, "Your voice sounded different. It's like the Holy Spirit was singing through my voice. And I tell you what, I sang better than I'd ever sung. When the Holy Ghost is on it, you can do it. Amen? In verse 16, I want to go there also. This is the part I really want you to grab a hold of. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He wants you to live a long life, and he wants you to be satisfied because of that salvation that you have, to where you're just full, where you're happy, where people, when they come around you, they have a presence. There's a presence that they just can't help it. They just want to be around you. And I like that. I like that peace that passes understanding that's around us. You know, I want to say this, a statement. There is power in a place in God where you abide or dwell in the Spirit or in the supernatural. And you live a satisfied life. There's power in that way of living. You can live a supernatural life. So God wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to be filled up to overflow. I tell you what, I just have a good time all the time, pretty much. I'm hardly ever depressed or down because the Holy Spirit is just available all the time. How can you be depressed? Everybody's calling me, "Are you okay? I'm sorry about your mother." I tell them, I'm rejoicing. I'm happy. I'm grateful to God that he took her. She was 90 years old and in a lot of pain. She gets her reward in heaven. I was thinking about all the relatives. I had an uncle that died at 7 years old. I had another uncle die at 10 or 11 years old. Pastor Ken was named after him. His name was Kenneth Neal, and his mother was close to Kenneth's, and she named her son Kenneth after that. But and it's so cool because, you know, right now they've grown up in heaven, and they, of course, you stop at about 30. I'm so happy about that. I'm going to be able to jump and run. Dave, we're going to be able to run and play basketball when we get to heaven. Yeah, we'll be 30 years old. I was still pretty active and athletic back then. And just everything will be wonderful. You know, I thought about a lot of the old songs, Camping in Canaan Land, I'll Fly Away. Yeah, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. In the sweet by and by and all that good stuff. Yeah. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, amen. It's going to be glorious, isn't it? We might just have to have a good old-fashioned song service at my mom's memorial on the 24th. But people wondering, are you down? I said, she was suffering so much, I'm rejoicing with her. As she went through those gates of heaven, and all the relatives were waiting for her. It's awesome. I got to be careful. I'm going to have memorial service right here before it's time. But there is a power when we live the supernatural life. It's available to us. We can pray for somebody and believe, and God can do it. He can touch them. Go to 2 Thessalonians, if you would, with me. Chapter 2. And verses 1 through 3. Now, that's the first word. You know, when I see words like that in the Scripture, he's trying to get your attention. Now, Tim. Now, Rocky. Now, Caleb. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it from us as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one, this is the part you need to get a hold of, verse 3. Let no one, deceive you by any means. For that day, capital D, that season of time, and I believe that's going to be the rapture and 7 years of tribulation, that day, that season, when then Jesus' second coming, that season of time will not come unless the falling away comes first. That's very sad to me. And the man of sin has revealed the son of perdition. Now we know who that is. Old Slewfoot's going to have his imposter Christ, the Antichrist, come on the scene. And supposedly he's going to solve the world's problems. He's going to look like he's got the goods. And I tell you what, his name doesn't have the initials JB either. I don't think people are too happy with JB right now, you know, to tell you the truth. But he said, don't let anybody deceive you that that day has come. There's going to be a falling away. And that is sad because I've seen over the last few years several people fall away. Now, did they quit believing Jesus is Lord? No. They just fell away. They're just, church is not interesting to them anymore. I tell you what, I always enjoy being at church. I enjoy the presence of God. When John, one of our new guys, came on Sunday and gave that prophetic word after Tara prayed heaven down, then I tell you what, John, he was fired up. He said, I feel the presence of God in this place, and I'm coming to this church because I know people are going to fill this place up, and there are going to be a lot of healings. Y'all remember that? He's excited to be a part of this church. I am too. I don't look at numbers. I don't look at these results. Our success is in the presence of Almighty God. Our success, I tell you what, it's going to be a great testimony to the glory of God when this revival breaks out like I believe it's going to. He says there's got to be a falling away. That don't mean they can't come back. Some are going to fall away and they're going to come back. The Lord spoke that to me a few years back and he said, you got to have your arms open wide and receive them. Don't be mad at them. You know, I'm not mad, I'm sad. I'm sad that they miss out when God could touch them. He could heal them. And then we see, number one is, you will not fail or fall away unless you open the door to the devil, to Satan. You know, nobody just falls. They open a door and then the enemy comes in and pushes them over into the ditch. And they get all muddy and they get all messed up and then they need help. And we need to be ready to help them, amen? And number two, many are weak and they need our help. Romans 15, verse 1 says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Scruples. We need to be ready for those people that are a little bit off. Sometimes they irritate you. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes you don't even like them. There's been people come to church that I just did not like. I smiled and I shook their hand. I said, glory to God, I'm glad you're here. And I had to say that by the Spirit, not by the flesh. I shouldn't even be talking like that. But I'm a human being. Sometimes people, they just act bad. Some of them are so negative, you know, you just need to dunk them under. I'd like to baptize them again and hold them under the water a little bit longer this time. Maybe they'd wash away some of that negativity. Oh, y'all know I'm just funning. Don't get too serious on me now. But I'm here to tell you, we have to put up with it because they're weak. They're not coming to please me. I'm not even coming to please me. I'm coming to please the Lord. You shouldn't come to church to please Pastor Kevin. You shouldn't come to church to please your daddy or your Aunt Susie or your Uncle Bill, you should come to church because you want to please the Lord. Amen. And you want to be patient with those that are weak and help them come out of the funk that they're in and become strong. How can they become strong if we don't help them? We got to help lift them up. Amen? Amen? And then we see in Matthew 10 and 16, it says there, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You know, you got to be smart when you're out in this world. But you be wise as a serpent. Don't act like the serpent, old devil. But you be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. A dove's a beautiful bird. For you prayer warriors, Sister Tara, I'll tell you experience I had down in South Florida. I had some resistance going on, and there was witchcraft going on trying to hinder our church. And we had a swimming pool in the backyard that I got another house after Hurricane Andrew destroyed the one that we first bought. Just destroyed it. So I sold it as is, took my insurance money, and bought another house inland about 5 miles, and is on the same street that Hank and Millie Bowles lived on. 7 houses down. We enjoyed that. My kids always called them Uncle Hank and Aunt Millie, and, you know, they were like that to them. And I would go outside and go swimming, and I would look up, and there would be blackbirds on the power line behind my house, separating my house from the house behind us. We had a hedge, so we didn't see them. But we had blackbirds all across that line. And I thought, you know what? That looks like an omen of death, all those black vulture-looking birds. Big crows or something. I said, Lord, I think that represents the attack that's been coming against our church. And I bind that up in the name of Jesus, and I command it to be cast away from our midst. Amen. And I'd pray that. And this went on for like 3 days. I was warring with those birds in my backyard. And then all of a sudden I went out the fourth day. Don't you glad there's a fourth day? Hallelujah. I went out there, and when I did, I got in the swimming pool. I'd pray back there. That's why I'd get in that swimming pool. I'd relax and I'd pray. And I looked up, and you know what was on there? Doves. There wasn't a black bird to be seen. My power line was loaded with doves all the way across. Turtle doves or whatever. They were beautiful. They were white and kind of light gray. And, you know, I said, look at that, Lord. And you know what? A Holy Ghost revival broke out in our church. And it began to grow leaps and bounds. And it was awesome. It didn't mean we'd ever go through anything again. We did. But, you know, God will be with you. But weak people need to be encouraged. I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you discourage me. If you're negative and you come to me, I'm going to be so positive, you'll either run from me or you'll change. We went to Israel, and Julie Pierce was on that trip. My mom was on that trip. My mother-in-law was on that trip. And my Aunt Dorothy was on that trip. I had all these elderly ladies calling my name every 5 minutes. Kevin! And Helen, there was a lady named Helen on the trip too. She had lived in Hungary. She was married to a Hungarian. He had passed away. She moved from New York City to Florida. And she'd get ready to get on the bus, and she'd just be talking negative and how she didn't like that breakfast. And it was a great breakfast, you know. She'd say, oh, I just don't like this bus. Why do we have to ride this bus? And why do we have to stand in line? And I'd just get with her, I'd say, Sister Helen, isn't it great day to be serving the Lord? Sister Helen, isn't it great that we're here in Israel and we're praising God where Jesus walked? I'd just go on and on. Every time she'd open up her mouth something negative, I'd turn it to a positive. And because Julie was getting fed up, you know, she was tired of hearing it. said, "Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do." She complains all the time. I said, "We're going to turn this bus around for her." And we did. And about the fourth day, there it is again, four. She began to turn. And you didn't hear all this negative stuff. She knew I was going to blow her away with a positive. Now, I'll say this. She went to Mexico with me, and Zach did too. He was 9 years old. And I bought Zach one of those spiders, and it has a little tube coming out of it, and you squeeze ball. And the spider would jump. It's about that big around. Looked like a big old black widow or something. And I said, "Watch this, Zach." And I put that spider. I had that thing running down through my shirt, you know. And I had my hand down here, and I put that spider down there on my leg, and I sat down next to Sister Helen. I was bad, I'm telling you. I repent of that. She's in heaven now. But she's sitting there. I said, "Sister Helen, that's great. We're getting ready to go back home. We've had a great trip down here to Mexico." And she liked to go. And all of a sudden, I squeezed that ball, and that spider jumped. She goes, "Woo!" I was bad. I was wrong, Brother Dave. I had to repent of that. And but she said, "Pastor, I can't believe you did that to me." I said, "Isn't it fun?" And, you know, she thought I was a lot of fun. Or else she wouldn't have kept sitting next to me. You know, she is 78. But we learned how to have fun. And the Lord was good. But many are weak and they need our help. I turned her around with Sister Julie by being positive. And she became positive from that day forward. And then many times, number three, we're tempted to think in the natural because of those who live around us, who are here. Sometimes people are living so much in the natural, they forget that we have a supernatural ability through the power of Almighty God. We don't have to live in the natural. We are natural. If I hit it very hard, I'd have a bruise. But I tell you what, you know, I'm natural, but I'm also supernatural. And how much fun is that, Pastor Ken? I mean, to pray for people and see God heal people and touch people, get to lead them to the Lord. I tell you what a joy that is. Anyway, we got to, you know, we're tempted to fall into that when they are just caught up in the natural all the time. But I have a couple of scriptures for that. I knew you knew I would. Romans 16 and verse 19. "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, because your obedience is known, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." Don't be tempted by those that are living in the natural to suck you into that vacuum of life. But you stay out of that negativity. And he said, because of our obedience, our testimony becomes known. And he's glad. Paul was glad for them that they had turned around their lifestyle. Then in Psalm 91 again, let's go backwards again. Let's turn left. Psalm 91, verse, I think that should be 10 and 11. I'll put 1 through 11. Skip down if you want to, Zach, or Dennis, rather. But we see in Psalm 91, verse 10, it says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." Isn't that awesome? See, don't get into the natural. You know, you got angels watching you, angels helping you. Man, you ought to be pushing forward in the name of the Lord. Because you got the angels on your side. Man, people want to concentrate. Oh, man, the demonic's really doing this. And you know what? They don't have any power that can combat the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus, and the angels of God, which are twice as many as there are demons, fallen angels. That's why you can walk confidently. You know, you didn't mention, I forgot to tell you, Pastor Prophet Norm Spencer had emergency appendectomy the other night. I talked to him today. He's a little rough, but he was getting up and walking around. He had some really infection in his system, and they had to drain it out of his stomach after they took the appendix out and all. He thinks he'll be out maybe by Friday or maybe by Monday. But I tell you, Norm's always ready to go. That's why I get along with him so well, because we're so positive and we're roaring and ready to roll, to pray for the sick, to prophesy the word of the Lord. When we were in Ecuador together, and I was up in, what was the name of that place? 11,000 feet up. Anyway, Guayaquil was the one down low, and then I went to the other one. I don't believe I'm drawing a blank right now. Quito. Thank you, Pastor Ken. You can tell my stories for me here. But Quito, 11,000 feet up. I was wagged out, let me tell you. I could walk across the courtyard from Norm's little church apartment to the church, and I was out of gas. It took me a little bit to get kind of rid of that altitude sickness. But we went and we ministered on a Saturday afternoon, and we prayed for people for like 3 hours. I had to sit down on the stage and just let them come. I had a translator, and I just lay my hand on them and prophesy while I was sitting down, because I was just worn out. But how much fun it was. Man, people got touched, and they came out for those meetings. You know, and it was cold in that church. I didn't have any heaters. People came in their coats, and they had their sock hats on, their gloves, and yet they still came and sat in church. I even wore my sock hat. I wore my little, you know, English hats like we like. I turned around backwards and wore it backwards. I looked cool. Yeah. But I was doing that to keep my head warm. It was freezing cold in there up 11,000 feet. You wouldn't believe how cold. You know, I thought, man, I'll be at the equator. I don't even need a coat. I took a little windbreaker and about froze to death the whole time I was there. I wore that thing all week. I never took it off. I'd wear it to bed at night because they didn't have too many blankets. I wore my pants and my windbreaker over my shirt and a sweater in bed to try to stay warm enough to sleep. But I'm not complaining, because man, God moved. You'll go through things. You'll sacrifice things if you get to see God move. It's awesome. But we can live, in number four, supernaturally, as we learn how loving and powerful the Holy Spirit inhabits our lives, if we're open. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, He will fill you up and supernaturally flow through you. Isaiah 43:4 says, "Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." I tell you what, He honors you when you walk with Him in the fullness. He honors you, and He gives people for you. You know, hey, you know what? I got rewards when I get to heaven. I'm not bragging. I'm saying He has honored me because I'm willing to walk in the Holy Spirit and be bold and put my neck out on the line and say, "Be healed, hand unfurl, you're dead, come alive, eyes open." See, those miracles happen. And because of that, He says He'll give those men to you. He'll give them for you. People for your life. I mean, I got people for my life. when I go down there to Aguas Calientes, I've got Isaac and Laura, I've got Tino and Sarah, I've got Pastor Miguel and Laura also. Just so many. There's so many names I could call. He's given people for my life. So my life is full. And I go there, it's so much fun. When I go to Chris Martinez, it's so much fun, those people, because he tells them, this is my spiritual father. And they treat me with honor there. And then I go to Eliezer's and Raleigh Durham, and those people are so happy I'm there because it gives them a sense of connection that he's got a spiritual papa that he has been raised up under. You know, it's so exciting. I see him being so successful. I say, man, you got it going. He said, well, I'm just doing what I saw you do down in Homestead. I said, well, I don't even think I can do what I did in Homestead anymore. I can't remember all that. But I'm glad you're able to do it. But in Luke 24, in verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? I mean, this is after Jesus was raised from the dead, and he had disguised himself. He must have had his hood, you know, like a covering around, and he talked with them, and they didn't quite realize who he was right away until later. And those disciples, they were just astounded. They could tell, though, because their hearts burned. You feel the presence of God and you feel like a burning inside, like this fire building inside your spirit, man. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. So number five, when we magnify the Lord by the Holy Spirit, pointing to Jesus Christ, we cannot help but preach and shout it out. Hallelujah. Joel 2:28, that was a promise of God that was also fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. There in Joel 2:28 it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. Man, I had that awesome three-hour vision on my knees in prayer at 27 years old. 26, actually. I turned 27 2 months later. And that has driven me for almost 40 years. 37 years. 36 and a half, anyway. It's been awesome. Now I have dreams. I've had dreams of ministering places I've never been. What an awesome thing. I get to watch movies in my sleep of future ministry. That's so cool. You know, it's time now for the younger ones like Zach and the young people to have visions. That's my prayer. I want Zach to go into a vision one day like I did for like 3 hours and see and have it rattle his cage so much that he can't live anywhere but for the vision, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then I'll dream about it. It's awesome. But he's promised us that he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and the sons and daughters would prophesy. I'm looking forward to seeing that. More and more sons and daughters prophesy. Caleb, I want to see you prophesy. I want the Spirit of God to rise up in you and you be able to prophesy the word of the Lord. I think you could. He's getting nervous now. He's looking at me real serious. Whoa. You're going to. You're going to prophesy the word of the Lord, young man. Yeah. God's going to give you visions. And then we see number six, great things can happen soon after we begin to live in and by the Holy Spirit's infilling in our spirits. We begin to see great things happen. Acts chapter 3. And you know the story. You know, Peter and John, they went down to the temple at the time of prayer. And there was that lame man there begging. He had been there his whole life. So they'd seen him before, but this time, his rattling of the coins in the can, and Peter stopped and he felt he had no money. And so he said, "Look at us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man's bones went crack, 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 and his muscle and sinew began to inflate, and he began to gain strength, and he didn't know what was happening. It's almost like an angel grabbed him behind the armpits and picked him up, and he was on his feet, and the word says he went walking and leaping and praising God. Somebody had never walked in his life. What a supernatural event that was. But it's a real deal. Why? Because they had spent time with Jesus. But guess what? They'd just been filled with the Holy Ghost for a short time. Probably just a few days. They were excited because the Holy Spirit's promise was there for them. And so let's read these verses, 11 and 12. It says, "Now," there's that word "now" again. "Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and greatly amazed." They were greatly amazed. When I commanded life back into that dead man's body on the fourth or fifth pew in Paco's church that night, and Isaac was my translator, and he gulped air and came back to life, guess what? All the people ran to us in the altar. I didn't have to preach anymore. It was over. There was no more preaching. Now I don't worry about preaching too much. I just get a scripture and a little story, and I let her fly, and then boom, the power of God comes, and the people get healed, and then they just keep coming. They get filled with the Spirit. Supernatural ministry. That's what they want. They get great teaching with Pastor Paco and Josue and all them, but when that man died in church, he must have had a heart attack. He was white as a sheet, head all knocked backwards over the seats, slumped, totally out. And then life come back into him and his face, the color came back into him. Zach, were you on that trip? No? Yes? That's truly amazing. Man, that's God. And see, that's what happened when they saw that lame man healed that they had never seen walk before. That is proof right there. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" See, they want to treat them like superstars. And America has made that mistake where they have treated men and women of God like superstars. I didn't see the disciples in the New Testament go out and buy $3,000, $5,000 suits, you know, to go preach in. I don't read about the old timers wearing $3,000, $5,000, $7,000 suits either. Our gospel has gotten a little bit out of proportion. They give truths, but they have gotten away from the Holy Spirit infilling and power being released to touch the people. They spend too much time taking the offerings. You take 30, 40 minutes to take an offering. I'm sorry, that bothers me. I get bored, to tell you the truth. I already want to give. You know? It's a little frustrating. And I like people to give. I want them to obey God. If they do that, then God will help take care of them. It's just simple truth in the Word of God. But anyway, This was amazing to the people. And he said, why are you so amazed? Like we did it. He said, it's not us. It's God. We just activated it because we can walk a supernatural lifestyle. And I think that's glorious. And more people could live that way if they want to. Number 7, God wants to manifest great things through His children. That's the bottom line. He wants you to manifest these great things on a daily basis. In Mark 11:24, I'm not going to go read that whole passage about speaking to the mountain and casting it into the sea, but let's look at 24. Therefore, see, if you'll believe in your heart and not doubt it, whatever you ask, He said He'll give it to you. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. If you believe you receive them, you will have them. If you believe you'll receive them, you will have them. You know what? I want a people mover bus sometime. I'd like those. Haul about 20, 25 people, you know. I rode in one in Mexico, Pastor Miguel's brother-in-law. He owns 2 Mercedes-Benz buses. That's his business. He carries people back and forth from like Aguas to Puerto Vallarta to Guadalajara to Mexico City. And people pay. They get riding a really nice bus. I'd like to have one of those and get some of the senior citizens to go with me up to see Noah's Ark. Rocky, you been? Would you like to go? He said if we believe, we will have them. I'm believing. I'm going to have a bus here, but not a school bus that's half broken down and you can't keep it on the road and it's dangerous. No, I want one of those nice ones. It can be a Ford. It can be a Chevy. I don't know. But I sure like that Mercedes-Benz that I saw. And, you know, it didn't cost that much more than a Ford. That thing had a 4-cylinder, and it would change to where it had more power. It had like a turbo motor on it. It was amazing. I rode in the front seat. I was the captain. I rode in the passenger side, shotgun. I tell you what, I fell asleep going through those hills after we ate that special restaurant they took me to that day. But He said it. I want to read that again. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Lord, I pray right now and I ask that your provision is so real. I ask that we'll have one of those, maybe 2 or 3 or 5 one day. Lord, and that this place will be full, I ask for that. I ask that we'll have to get out every chair that we can squeeze into this building. I ask, Lord, for the money to put a fence up between us and Jiffy, a privacy fence, and to pave the parking lot. I ask for us to be able to finish that building next to us, God. Have a nice big fellowship hall with a commercial kitchen, and with classrooms in there, Lord, that we can have a great children and youth ministry, Lord, because it's coming, hallelujah. So I ask for it. Amen. Hallelujah. I ask for that building up front. I want to knock it down. It's an eyesore. I want to make a nice entrance, hallelujah. We've got it. Y'all believe it? I do. I know it. And this isn't even the place of the vision. It's just the beginning. We're going to move to the vision one day, where that is. But this is the summary. You can walk and live in the Spirit-filled life to the glory of the risen Christ and see awesome things. Are you ready to see awesome things? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask something else right now. Because the ladies' ministry are going to feed the football team. I pray that when they come through those doors, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we're not just throwing food away at some kids that won't appreciate it. They're all so nice every time they've come. And I ask that they can feel the presence and the anointing of the Almighty God, and that they will see Zach, and that they'll light up, they'll get connected, and if they don't have a church, that they'll want to come and check Zach out sometime. Yes, I want another keyboard player in the name of Jesus. I want a couple of drummers in the name. Zach can play the drums once in a while. Sean is a great bass player. That's his number one instrument. I pray Sean will be able to play the bass and somebody else can too. Zach can play the bass. I pray we got all the pieces. We can move them around, have so much fun, and have four or five really good praise and worship singers that people want to come to our worship praise services, that they'll be traveling some because it's so good. Yes, I'll have it. I'm happy because I believe the Scriptures. Y'all believe? Oh, man, I want some people to come in here to get delivered. Yes, Lord, I ask for some deliverance people. I ask for them to come in and we cast some demons out of them in the name of Jesus. They don't take long, Lord, when your presence is so powerful. And I ask for a bunch of salvations. I ask for this revival to break loose in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. You believe? Yes. Amen. Stand with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch those that are here tonight. Stir up their spirits. Stir them up in the Word of God. Cause them to have a point of prayer that they'll be able to agree with me about. And I thank you, Lord, that all the money that's necessary is coming. I thank you, Lord, that all the materials that's necessary is coming. That the people and the resources are coming. That the people resources are coming. These people to play instruments. These people to lead youth ministry. People to lead children's ministries. Lord, and we can have to rebuild this place a little bit to accommodate how big the nursery is going to get, even in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said? Amen. All right. Well, you're dismissed to go wherever you need to. And those that are helping, I'll see you tomorrow night at 5 or a little before 5 o'clock. We'll come in and we'll see these kids get ministered to.